This is I'm Just Tired, Okay? Written by Just Bill and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, not rated, featuring the relationship Clint Barton / Frank Castle / Roy Harper. Summary. When Clint goes to a coffee shop because he ran out of coffee at home, he meets two interesting men. He's not sure if this counts as a meet cute or a meet ugly. Maybe both? Clint walks blearily along the street. Walking is a generous description of his barely conscious shuffle. His eyes are half closed because the sunshine is too sunshiny, but he manages to not walk into anyone. And anyway, he's tall enough that most people avoid walking into him. Somewhere around here should be a coffee shop. There has to be, or he'll keel over and fall asleep against a building. He could have had excellent coffee at the tower, but that came with post-mission medical and briefing and paperwork, so he snuck off and went home to patch himself up. Except at home, the unthinkable happened. He ran completely out of coffee, so out he had to go. A brief whiff of coffee drifts down the street, a heaven-sent smell of delicious goodness between the otherwise horrible cocktail of early morning traffic, garbage, and commuters' perfume. It must mean he's close. And yes, two shops down, Clint sees the promised cup of coffee painted on the window of an otherwise unassuming shopfront. He would quicken his step, but much to his dismay, there is a line going into the coffee shop. A line! He has to wait in line. For coffee. A long line. Clint sighs forlornly and settles into his fate. It feels like he's waiting forever. Longer than forever. He can't help but zone out here and there, relying on his feet to shuffle forward automatically as the customer in front does the same. Is this what zombies feel like? It's kind of peaceful, Clint muses. Maybe zombies just need some coffee too. Clint sure as hell can't rely on his brain to work without any. Maybe the cry for brains is a cry for coffee. His hand bumps into something, and he grabs it on reflex. Maybe zombies are just looking for a connection. Aren't zombies basically just people too? Out there, shambling about. Now, that's a nice word. Shambling. Shambling and ambling. Would zombie movies be more entertaining or less entertaining if zombies ambled instead of shambled? He feels that ambling is more of a musical thing than a zombie thing. Ooh, zombie musical! What's his face? From Les Miserables, looks like Logan. He would make a good musical zombie. Provided his vocal cords are intact when he dies, of course. Or not dies. Someone coughs and he looks up, or rather, down. Apparently, Clint's been staring at the ceiling without actually seeing it. It's not a stare-worthy ceiling, if he's honest. Oh, hey, if he can see the ceiling, that means he's in the shop itself and coffee is almost his. What's their biggest cup size? Maybe a tub. How many cups would go in a... Another cough breaks his train of thought, and he looks at the man in front of him, who pointedly looks down. Clint follows his gaze to where Clint is holding the man's hand. We're holding hands, Clint observes, because it seems like a noteworthy fact. It's not common to hold hands with someone you don't know, but he's been living in New York long enough to not be surprised by anything anymore. The man's frown turns into a glare. I'm not paying for your drink. The way he says it sounds like a threat, but Clint is too tired to be scared. It's just, it's been a really long day. Like a 40-hour, no-sleep, exploding plants and many bad guys with guns kind of day. A glare is just a glare. Doesn't leave a bruise or anything. But now that Clint is forcing himself to pay a little more attention, his handholder looks like he had his nose broken even more often than Clint has. And upon further inspection, looks like he could and would break Clint's with just a pinky. Maybe a little worry is in order. The man in front of his handholder... Handholdy? Clint is still unsure about the who and the what here. Turns around to grin at Clint. Come hold my hand, sir. I'll buy you any frappuccino you want. It's an enticing smile and an excellent offer, and Clint finds himself smiling back, ready to give up his hold on Grumpy McGlare and move on to greener pastures. But his hand holder firms his grip on Clint's hand and now turns his glare onto Frappuccino Man. No. Frappuccino Man's sunny smile fades and his shoulders slump, and it's such a look of utter resignation that Clint wouldn't be able to live with himself if he did nothing. You can hold my other hand. He offers Frappuccino Man and holds out his left hand, wriggling his fingers in invitation. A wide-eyed look of surprise is followed by a narrow-eyed look of suspicion, but when Clint doesn't lower his hand, Frappuccino Man's smile returns, and he takes Clint's hand. It means he loses two places in line, and Clint is touched. Hey, Frappuccino Man says, and holds up their joined hands. Matching band-aids! Sure enough, the man's lower arm is littered with Little Mermaid band-aids, exactly like the one under Clint's eye and the one on his jaw. Clint perks up even more. Did you get them the two for one discount? Yeah, Frappuccino Man replies happily. Was bummed that they didn't have Merida, though. Yeah, Clint nods. Archer representation in general sucks. He's glad someone agrees, though Mr. Frappuccino probably goes for the red hair like he has himself. What'd you do with your head? Frappuccino Man pokes against something attached to Clint's head, and Clint remembers he tied a pack of frozen peas to it because he couldn't find the cold packs. Ow, he grimaces. Fell from a tree. Frappuccino Man nods in understanding. Trees are supposed to be all sturdy and whatnot, but try sitting in one for hours, right? Clint feels like he's in one of those soulmate stories online that he pretends he doesn't read. Coffee shop AU. He wonders if this is a meet cute or a meet ugly. Frappuccino Man is very cute, with his freckles and muscles and band-aids. On the other hand, his literal other hand, there's Grumpy McGlare, who's anything but cute. Roguishly handsome in a brawler kind of way, maybe. In fact, this is so much like one of those stories that Clint doubts he's still awake. It wouldn't be the first time coffee featured in his dreams. Suddenly, he's pulled to the side, instead of in the direction of the barista, but before he can protest an alarm, he notices that Grumpy McGlare is holding a tray with three cups in his free hand and is towing Clint and Mr. Frappuccino to an empty table. Sit, he orders, and lets go of Clint to point at a chair. Clint doesn't excel at taking orders, but Frappuccino Man is already sliding into the booth, and there's coffee, and Clint sort of falls onto the chair now that no one is holding on to him anyway. Thanks, Frank, Frappuccino Man sighs happily into his coffee, after upending no less than 7 packets of sugar into it. Grumpy McFrank only grunts in reply, watching Clint and Mr. Frappuccino through narrowed eyes. Clint doesn't care. He has coffee and a seat, and he slumps sideways to lean his head, the good side, on one hand, while pouring coffee into his mouth with the other. When you're done, Grumpy Frank tells Clint, I'm gonna walk you home and check that head wound. Nah, I'm fine, Clint mutters, feeling increasingly drowsy. It's nice and warm in the coffee shop, and his chair is comfy, and his headache is subsiding somewhat. He should probably thank Frank and introduce himself, but he could also rest his head on his arm a tiny amount of time and close his eyes. Find my ass, Frank mutters. What is it with you archers? Full body armor impedes maneuverability, Mr. Frappuccino answers while tapping on Clint's upper arm. Stay awake, buddy. Frank will throw you over his shoulder if you fall asleep, and I don't think your head will like that much. It takes a massive effort for Clint to blink his eyes open, and with the bright lights and concerned looks, he wishes he hadn't. This is a very strange kind of kidnapping. Mr. Frappuccino snorts, and even Grumpy Frank looks amused, or at least less grumpy. Wait, some part of Clint's brain cells are doing a valiant attempt at waking up, and Clint knows he knows a... Fuck me, Frank Castle? Frank salutes Clint with his coffee cup, expression blank. It explains the grumpiness, and Clint's earlier assumptions about nose breakage. The coffee remains a mystery, though, or why he held Clint's hand, and why there's the sidekick, though Mr. Frappuccino doesn't look very punishing in the slightest. Okay, Clint shrugs and closes his eyes again, because free coffee is free coffee, and he figures there are worse people to fall asleep next to. A kick under the table makes him look up again. I'm not carrying you, Frank Futzing Castle tells him quietly. You're not going to let it go, are you? Clint asks. He tries his own version of a glare, but the effect is ruined when he has to yawn. He really won't, Mr. Frappuccino says, but with a soft kind of smile, like Frank's tenacity is something to cherish. Clint sighs, and sighs again when he finds that his coffee cup is empty. Should've ordered a tub. Maybe you want to remove the produce before we leave. Mr. Frappuccino nods at Clint's head and reaches out to help when Clint claws ineffectually at the bandage he used. Thank you, Mr. Frappuccino. Clint's almost too tired to smile, but he tries anyway. It's easier when Mr. Frappuccino laughs, bright and carefree and very close to Clint's face as he peels off the last of the bandages. Clint's head feels a lot better without the soggy weight on one side. You can call me Roy. Roy Frappuccino grins. So this is how I met your dad's. Max looks back at Clint with the patience only a dog of Frank could manage. Lucky lulled off to sleep halfway in and is snoring loudly without any care for Clint's feelings. Peas this time. Roy hands Clint a cup of coffee and settles next to him on the couch's arm, nursing his own. Yeah, if I mention steak. Clint leans in to whisper the last word at Roy. Or pizza. Either Max or Lucky think they're getting a T-R-E-A-T. He spells the last word, so no false hope is given. Max tilts his head and gives his sad but hopeful look that'll make him end up with treats anyway, because Clint is weak, and Roy is weak, and Frank isn't currently here to stop them. Come, Roy presses a kiss to the top of Clint's head. I made breakfast. The end. Podfigures note. Happy birthday, Cecil. I love you.